today, Canto 2, Chapter 7, and verse 42. So we'll do the synonyms of the verse now. I mean, not the synonyms, but the actual Sanskrit words. Yesham Saha Eshaha Dayayet. I have Dayayet. Dayayet. Oh, there's something, the Bhagavan? Okay, sorry about that. The Bhagavan. Dayayet. Anantaha. Sarva Atmanaha. Ashrita Padaha. Yadi. Nivyalikam. Dustaram. Atitaranti. I'm sorry, I've missed the word te. So let's go back to that line. Te. Dustaram. Atitaranti. Cha. Devamayam. Na. Esham. Mama. Aham. Iti. Tihi. Shva. Shugala, Bakshye. Okay. Yesham sa esha Bhagavandaya yed ananta. Sarvatmana Shrita Pado Yadi Nirvalikam. Te Dustaram Atitaranti Chadeva Mayam. Naisham Mahamiti Dishvashwagala Bhakshyai. Yesham sa esha Bhagavanda yayed ananta. Sarvatmana shrita pado yadi nirvalikam. Te dustaram atitaranti cha devamayam. Naisham mamahamiti disva shvagala bhakshye. Yesham sa esha Bhagavandaya yed ananta. Sarvatmana shrita pado yadi nirvalikam. Te dustaram atitaranti cha devamayam. Naisham mahahamiti disva srigala bhakshye. Please chant. Te dustaram atitaranti cha devamayam. Naisham mahamiti tai swashvigala bhakche. ladies. Anyone else? Synonyms. Yesham, unto those only. Saha, the Lord. Ashaha, the. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Dayaye, does bestow his mercy. Anantaha, the unlimited potency. Sarva Atmana, by all means, without reservation. Ashrita Padaha, surrendered soul. Yadi, if such surrender. Nivyalikam, without pretension. Te, those only. Dushtaram, insurmountable. Atitaranti, can overcome. Cha, and the paraphernalia. Devamayam, diverse energies of the Lord. Na, not. Esham, of them. Mama, mine. Aham, myself. Iti, thus. Di, conscious. Shva, dogs. Shvagala, jackals. Bhakshye, in the matter of eating. Sorry. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. But anyone who is specifically favored by the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, due to unalloyed surrender unto the service of the Lord, can overcome the insurmountable ocean of illusion and can understand the Lord. But those who are attached to this body, which is meant to be eaten at the end by dogs and jackals, cannot do so. Please repeat. But anyone who is specifically favored by the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, due to unalloyed surrender unto the service of the Lord, can overcome the insurmountable ocean of illusion and can understand the Lord. But those who are attached to this body, which is meant to be eaten at the end by dogs and jackals, cannot do so. Purport. Srila Prabhupada. The unalloyed devotees of the Lord know the glories of the Lord in the sense that they can understand how great the Lord is and how great is his expansion of diverse energy. Those who are attached to the perishable body can hardly enter into the realm of the science of Godhead. The whole materialistic world, based on the conception of the material body as the self, is ignorant of the science of God. The materialist is always busy working for the welfare of the material body, not only his own, but also those of his children, kinsmen, community men, countrymen, etc. The materialists have many branches of philanthropic and altruistic activities from a political, national, and international angle of vision. But none of the fieldwork can go beyond the jurisdiction of the misconception of identifying the material body with the spirit soul. Sorry about that. Say it again. But none of the fieldwork can go beyond the jurisdiction of the misconception of identifying the material body with the spirit soul. Unless, therefore, one is saved from the wrong conception of the body and the soul, there is no knowledge of Godhead. And unless there is knowledge of God, all advancement of material civilization, however dazzling, should be considered a failure. So I want to give the emphasis that Srila Prabhupada is giving, especially in the translation. Mentions here that anyone who is specifically favored by the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, due to unalloyed surrender unto the service of the Lord, can overcome the insurmountable ocean of illusion. Otherwise, it's practically impossible. And can understand the Lord. Now, when Prabhupada says understand the Lord, he doesn't mean completely, totally. He means to the degree that the Lord allows him to understand him. It's not that simply I no longer have illusion that I'm the body and therefore I understand everything about the Lord. That's not the way it works. God reveals himself according to our surrender to him. As they surrender unto me, he says, I reward them accordingly. And the reward is himself. He gives more and more, or reveals more and more of himself to the devotee. So the devotee can then feel a closer, a kinship, nearness to the Supreme Lord. When one is feeling closer and closer to the Lord, it is very easy then to remember the Lord. It is when we feel very distant, when we feel apart, when we feel that I have no connection, that it's very difficult to remember the Lord. So remembering is very much, at least good remembering, is very much, good remembering is very much dependent upon, it is very much dependent upon feeling nearness, feeling relationship, feeling connection. The more connection you feel, the more it's easy also to remember that person. The more distant, the more difficult it is to remember. So going on to the purport. We've done the purport, but I want to connect it to the translation. The unalloyed devotees of the Lord know the glories of the Lord in the sense that they can understand how great the Lord is and how great is his expansion of diverse energy. That is a characteristic of great devotees. They cannot help feel their smallness, their insignificance, their worthlessness next to, compared to, the Supreme Lord. Next to Krishna, we are like little ants next to a lion. Actually, that's not even a good comparison because Krishna is so vast, so great, so magnificent, so wondrous that all we can do is shrink into ourselves, so to speak, and say, my dear Lord, I realize how next to you I am so nothing. I am so worthless. I am so useless. But with your mercy, I can get to feel that I have some meaning. I have some value. I have some sense because you are giving it to me. That sense of prestige, or that sense of value, that sense of goodness, that all comes from Krishna because he is good. He has value. He is significant. So he has all this and so much more, and he can pour it upon us as his grace. When a devotee feels up, he feels strong. When he feels peaceful, when he feels joyful, he feels loving, then what happens is that he functions quite naturally, quite nicely. But when he feels the opposite, it's difficult to function. When a person feels down, or he feels low, he feels depressed, he feels disturbed, he feels ashamed. Any of these types of feelings do not allow us to feel peaceful and able to function and do the services that we are able to do, we're meant to do. Sometimes we perform them not as well as we normally perform them, and that's because we are disturbed. So what Srila Prabhupada is saying very clearly here is to minimize or to lessen or to completely obliterate this feeling of disturbance is that we need to become more and more attached to Krishna. He says that attachment should come through the process, as mentioned here, surrendered, to be a surrendered soul. So what is a surrendered soul? First of all, the meaning surrender, just to take that and we can build from there. To be surrendered, for example, in war, if two enemies or two adversaries are fighting one another, and one of the adversaries understands and knows that he's going to be defeated because he doesn't have the skill, he doesn't have the stamina, he doesn't have what it takes to win over the enemy. So he can do one of two things: continue fighting and then dying because the adversary is more powerful. Or if he's not going to do that, then he can throw up his arms. Or in the old days, he used to throw up like a white shirt or something to indicate that I surrender. I surrender means you can do what you want with me. I'm yours. You want to use my arms? I'll use my arms for you. My mouth, my eyes. You want me to do menial service? I'll do it. I have no right to object to anything you order me. Why is that? Because I'm yours now. That's what surrender means. I belong to you. And if I object, then I can lose my life. Because the principle of surrender means I am yours. Okay? At least for now. Later on, that might change if the persons who are now the surrendered, if their men come up from the ranks, so to speak, and capture or defeat the enemy. But for now, I am surrendered. So this same concept can be transferred to our spiritual life, that I belong to you, Krishna. Normally, I would, if you tell me to do something and I feel my independence, I will say, no, I'm not going to do that. But a person who's truly surrendered says, you want me to do that? Whether I like it or not, I do it. This is the principle of real surrender. And if I don't like it, nonetheless, I learn to like it because Krishna likes it. He wants it done. Then I get to like it. This is a very interesting aspect of surrender, that we get to like things that we before did not like. And that's because Krishna likes it, and we love Krishna, and therefore we love what he likes, and we will do it as best as we can. So that's the basic idea of surrender. Now, when we continue to take it a little bit further, there are actually some very interesting concepts of surrender in our books, like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There are six symptoms of surrender that are mentioned there. To accept whatever is favorable for discharging devotional service. Favorable means which will help bring us to the goal of Krishna consciousness. Unfavorable means that will bring us against the goal, away from the goal of Krishna consciousness. So, Accept whatever is favorable for discharging devotional service, but also reject whatever is unfavorable for discharging devotional service. For example, you're walking down the street and you see an old buddy or an old friend, and you get to talking, and he happens to take marijuana. He likes it. He enjoys it. And you and him used to take it together 10 years ago, but you've changed. You've become a devotee. You've given up those kind of things. But he says, hey, yeah, why don't we get down the corridor here? There's nobody there. We can get high together, just the way we used to. So if you accept that because he's your old friend and you want to be friendly with him, or you give some stupid justification, yeah, I'll get high with him, but I'll only tell him about Krishna. This is foolish. You don't have to get high to tell somebody about Krishna. In fact, you tell them about Krishna much better when you're in your normal state of consciousness. So you reject it. You say, no thanks, I'm not interested. What's going on? You're not the old self. No, I'm not the old self, and I don't want to be that old self, thank you. So you walk away. So it says to reject what is unfavorable for discharging devotional service. We have four regulative principles, and one of the regulative principles is to not take any intoxication. And why no intoxication? Because intoxication has the tendency to distort consciousness. You don't see things as they really are. For example, people who may be taking LSD, they see a color not the way it actually is in normal consciousness. They will see it in many, many, like a yellow. They'll see it in all different ways. And then it starts to go in circles or it turns upside down. All kinds of things take place. I remember many years ago, I was invited to this is before I became a devotee, up to some person's apartment. They were going to smoke some pot. I had never had anything like that before, so I wanted to see what's it's all about. So they had these marijuana cigarettes, and so anyway, after an hour of doing that, I began to wonder, where's the high? I didn't see any high. I felt very low, actually. The high was the feeling of detachment, feeling apartness, feeling of sort of like you're not a part of the problems anymore. So I then took a book and I wanted to see. I was making notes because I was a writer at that time, and therefore I wanted to see what people get, what some of these characters that I write about, what are they experiencing which makes them want to do this. So therefore I took a book and I began to read the top line of it. So when I read the beginning of the line and I went to the end of the line, I could not remember 9 words ago what I had said. So I went back and I did this. Still, I couldn't remember it. That's the wonderful high that people get from marijuana. I'm being sarcastic and facetious. No, that's not high. That's low. Not only that, but there were a few other things. My whole time sense went. Everything seemed to slow down. I said, why would a person want this? How does that make you better? How does that make you higher? It doesn't. And that's why our great sages say, stay away from any kinds of intoxication. It will distort your mind, distort your consciousness, and therefore, as a result of that distortion, we will not see things, feel things, and know things as they are. We will know them as they are in a distorted condition. So, no intoxication, no illicit sex. All these things distort consciousness in such a way that we cannot focus on the higher consciousness, the real consciousness, the true consciousness, Sri Krishna. A third element of surrender is that to believe firmly that the Lord will always protect his devotee. Now, we see this exemplified very well in Prahlad Maharaj. His father hated him because, as far as he was concerned, Prahlad Maharaj was extolling, was glorifying, was applauding the so-called enemy, the enemy who killed Lord Vishnu, who killed his brother, Hiranyaksha. So, therefore, he decided he would kill his son, and he tried in various ways. They poked him with tridents. They threw him off a mountain. They threw him in the ocean. They put elephant hoofs over him. And yet none of them were able to kill him. And all he did, first of all, he didn't shout out, "Lord, help me, help me." He just maintained peaceful. He had a peaceful demeanor because he was completely possessed of this idea to believe firmly that the Lord will always protect his devotee. And whatever he does to him, that's the protection. We should not say, well, he should have left my body in perfect. Prahlad wasn't concerned about that, but the Lord did leave his body in perfect condition. He threw him off a mountain, and the mountain just embraced him when the little boy fell many, many feet. So when a devotee has, King Ambarish was the same way. There was a demon that was created by Yogi Durvasa for some reason, which was completely ridiculous. But he created the demon to punish King Ambarish, and so he took a hair out of his head, flung it on the floor, and it came up, a big fiery demon, ready to pounce upon King Ambarish. Ambarish never called for help, never said this is wrong, never complained, closed his eyes, and very peacefully waited for whatever Krishna was going to bring. Krishna is in charge. That is his mentality. Everything King Ambarish did was for the benefit of, or the pleasure of Krishna. He ate for Krishna. He cooked food for Krishna. He walked for Krishna. He talked for Krishna. He offered flowers for Krishna. Everything he did, this is for you, Lord. This is for you, Lord. This is for you, Lord. He did it in his mind. He never, for the moment, thought that it was being done for anyone else or anything else. And for that reason, he became so completely attached to Krishna from always saying, "This is yours, Lord. My body is yours. My mind is yours. My intelligence is yours. Everything I have is yours. This kingdom is yours. My wife is yours. My children are yours. I have nothing, although everybody worships me, honors me, glorifies me, bows down to me. But who are they really bowing down to? Who are they really applauding? Who are they really looking up to? Who are they really exalting? You. You, my Lord. And I know that, and therefore I do not take any attachment to those praises, honors, glorifications, applause. I don't take it because it doesn't belong to me. It belongs to you. And if it belongs to you, then what I do is I give it its proper due. This is yours, my Lord, and thank you for allowing me to use it. To use it for what? For your service. And thank you for the service. In other words, the entire consciousness becomes, I belong to Krishna. My body belongs to Krishna. My feelings belong to Krishna. My heart belongs to Krishna. Everything is Krishna's. Everything I do is for Krishna. And I offer it to Krishna. When we have beautiful weather, I would say, oh, wow. I look at the karmis. Oh, wow, what a great day. Wow, the sun is shining. It's so beautiful. The breezes are great. That's not the way a devotee looks. This is Krishna's provision. He's making the beautiful sunshine. He's making the beautiful breezes. He's doing all of this. For whom? For our pleasure. For our pleasure. But what do we do with that pleasure? Offer it up to Krishna. This is yours, Lord. Let me use this pleasurable situation so that I can work well, I can do things well, I can be without the injuries or be without the pains and the accidents. Here I am just walking and working and doing by your grace. So we should be very, very thankful for this. He doesn't have to give the grace. And so many people as I speak now are not getting that grace. They are falling apart. Some people are getting one disease. Another person is getting another disease. All these things are happening. But here we are sitting in a peaceful, nice, wonderful atmosphere. The ceiling is not falling, as it may be falling in some other places of the world. Nobody's interrupting the talk. Krishna is allowing or enabling me to speak whatever he wants because I asked at the beginning that he speak and I not speak. Because if I speak, it will simply be useless, purposeless and pointless, since I really know nothing except what you let me know. So therefore, I beg, please, you speak through me, Lord, and everybody will be pleased. Everybody will enjoy it because everybody enjoys you. Why do we enjoy you? Because you know everything, you do everything right, and as a result of doing everything right, people are happy. And when things are not being done right, then people are not happy. So that's why we try to have everything working very nicely here. I see that the clock has gone far beyond what I wanted. Let me just finish up the six symptoms of surrender. I'll only take a few seconds. As I said, believe firmly that the Lord will always protect his devotee. Prahlad Maharaj did this. King Ambarish did it so nicely. Feel dependent upon the mercy of Krishna. I can't do anything without your help. Even though it appears to be so, invisibly, you're always helping. And many of the karmis are getting help, but they don't thank. They don't say, please, thank for helping me. They don't say that because they think they're the doer. And they want to be the doer because the doer is the controller. And the controller is the Lord. And because the controller is the Lord, everyone wants to be a Lord. Consequently, no one really thanks Krishna from the heart or even anyway because they want to take the credit for getting all that they do. When you get the credit, then if people think you're better and bigger and higher and greater, how great you are. Another thing is, beyond or above feeling dependent upon the mercy of Krishna, have no separate interest than the service of Krishna. Now, we get various opportunities. I get persons, they offer me jobs, even in the stock market, believe it or not. Yeah, because I was able to show something which was not correct, and I showed it to one of the big bosses out of a particular stock. He said, are you looking for a job? He said to me, no, I have a job. And he says, what's that? I said, preaching God consciousness. And anything I know about your business comes from him, because I never read a book on your business whatsoever. My point is this, is that Krishna can give us knowledge that we never had. I have to work at a computer. We all do. I get into problems and troubles. I don't know how to fix it. So I said, please help me, Lord. I can't. The people who I normally call, they're not available. Or if I call my service, there's a busy line for at least an hour and a half. And so I beg, please give me guidance. I don't know how to do this. It's beyond me. Well, sure enough, generally speaking, 99% of the times, and those times are the ones that he wants to assist me and help me and guide me, and therefore I get the knowledge, I get the answer, and it gets done. I'm always amazed at the things that come out of me, which I really know nothing about. And the last, as I said, have no separate interest than the service to Krishna. Don't take these other jobs. Don't do these unnecessary things, things which interfere with, interrupt, distract you from various aspects of your own Krishna consciousness. Sometimes I see a person who gets very much into the occult activities, telepathy and clairvoyance and all that kind of stuff. What does Lord Chaitanya say about that? He said that will never, to Mukund, in the story of Lord Chaitanya appears as Lord Krishna in that particular pastime. He says to Mukunda, he said, yeah, you're hanging around with people who are interested in occult knowledge, you know, telepathy and, as I said, clairvoyance and levitation, all these kind of things. This is not for devotees. Of course, a great devotee may get those powers because the Lord will want him to use them. Hanuman had the power to levitate, and he flew across the ocean and found Sita. He used it for a constructive, useful, beneficial purpose. And Ram was very pleased with it. Not he used it to make a big show on Times Square. That's not the object of having these powers. A person who knows how to use them the Lord may give him those as a gift. Many Catholic saints were given these as gifts. And they were able to heal people and cure people and do many, many things which brought people to the faith and made them extremely faithful and extremely dedicated and loyal to their faith. And last but not least, to be meek and humble. That's not easy to do, especially if our ego is challenged. Who do you think you are? What do you think you are? You think you're so important? I've received comments like that. I say, no, I'm not important. You're more important. What would you like to teach me now? Then that turns everything around. So, therefore, surrender means, I'll just summarize very quickly, accept whatever is favorable for discharging devotional service, reject whatever is unfavorable for discharging devotional service, believe firmly that the Lord will always protect his devotee, feel dependent upon the mercy of Krishna, have no separate interest than the service of Krishna. Just do that. In the Bhagavad Gita, I think it's 1857, where the Lord says, always think of me, become my devotees, worship me, offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you're my dear, dear friend. So Prabhupada, the purpose is focus only on Krishna. There are so many different avenues and opportunities. When you focus on one person, you become more and more absorbed and intense. How many of us have taken a magnifying glass and put it over a piece of paper in the sunshine and watch how the paper burns? Anybody? Are you familiar? You've had that, okay? So why does it burn? Because of the concentration of heat. Similarly, when we focus upon Krishna and only Krishna, and beg for the mercy to be loyal and focused and concentrated that way to Krishna, and he gives us that mercy, you begin to receive and experience a form of Krishna consciousness which we may not have had before that degree of concentration, focus, and centered. So, I've spoken on this. I want to thank you all for listening, and if I've disturbed or upset or confused anyone, you're welcome to ask me questions. You can come up. If there's any question which you feel would benefit everybody here, I'm way over. Am I not, Savas? Yes, I'm way over. So if you have any question, you can come up and we can always discuss it outside of the class situation. Thank you again. All glories to Srila Prabhupada ki. You're welcome. Thank you, Bob. Knee is a little stiff. And that's because you were there. You brought out the fighting spirit in me.